So this is June 3rd, 1978, All-Star Wrestling. And we'll start, we'll do 3, 2, 1, and go. So 3, 2, 1, go. And here we go, folks. All-Star Wrestling. This dub job for the music isn't as bad as some of the dub jobs.
Yeah, it's... I've got used to it now. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
It sounds like it could plausibly be from the...
The 70s, yeah. It sounds 70s.
Definitely sounds 70s. All right. Vince, of course, in the canary yellow blazer.
His trademark, almost, from this era.
Yep. In 76, he's still wearing the red. At some point, it switches over to the yellow, and then he hangs on to the yellow for quite some time. Basically, I think it was like the Monday Night Football blazer from the time, if you know that, Landy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, because Vince copied Howard Cosell, the host of Monday Night Football, quite a bit in his the way he spoke at this time, did commentary.
Yeah.
And I think the ABC Monday Night Football crew all wore yellow blazers at this time. I could be wrong, though. But here we go. So we have Crazy Luke.
Crazy Luke, yes.
Managed, of course, by the Grand Wizard. Any thoughts on Crazy Luke Graham as a worker, Landy?
I haven't seen a whole lot of him, really, except his some of this WWF stuff, but
yeah.
What were some of his other like main territories? I know, presume AWA with Superstar.
Yeah, well, he started in the 60s in WWF.
Yeah,
as like the replacement Graham brother for Eddie Graham, who had left, and Jerry Graham was still around, and they were a team in the mid-60s, or like 66, I think. I don't really know where he went. He kept coming back. Of course, he was one half of the original tag team champions.
Was it Tarzan Tyler?
Yeah, Tarzan Tyler, yeah. So that was 1971. And then, yeah, I think he came back. I'm not sure how much before this time. I'm not sure if he was there in 77.
I'm trying to remember. I think early 78. Early 78.
Yeah.
So this is what, about a few months, maybe four or five months in, something like that.
Yeah. And for those keeping track at home, this is Jim Ray that he's going against. I did catch that. I do have the audio up enough. I'm going to put on the closed captioning.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I don't know what they're doing with these. Put Jim McHugh instead of Joe McHugh when he...
Oh, really? Jim McHugh?
Doing his, yeah.
Yeah, because I was watching it a bit with the closed captioning on yesterday, and it seemed like they picked up most of it.
I think it's just the odd thing.
Yeah. But this guy, Jim Gray, I've never seen before.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Jim Gray?
Or is it Jim Ray? Yeah, Jim Ray. Yeah.
Whatever he's called.
I think you're right, Jim Ray. Anyway, Jim Ray.
You see the Grand Wizard walking around.
Yeah. Yeah, so that it was cool now that Wizard had both, or two Grahams in his stable.
Yes.
Superstar, of course, had dropped the belt a few months earlier to Backlund. And they teamed quite a bit, Superstar and Crazy Luke, at this time. I know that.
I've never seen any of them, though.
I don't know I don't know if any of it made tape. Maybe on one of these TV shows, but not at MSG, anyway, or at least the ones that they televised.
Yeah.
Yeah. They may have been teaming, or they may have teamed on an untelevised show. I'm not sure. But yeah, he and after this, I'm not sure where he went. I mean, he looks quite old at this time, Luke Graham. But who knows? He may be like 35. You can never tell.
Yeah.
With the rest, 70s, 80s wrestlers.
is he still alive? Do you know? Is he passed away?
Let me check. I think so. I want to say yes.
See, he never came back to WWF. No. After this run.
No, you're right. And I don't know how much he had left in the tank after this.
Yeah, he does look over the hill a little bit.
Yeah,
that was on that backdrop.
Yeah. He's grizzled. But, I mean, it suits his character. He's crazy and all that. I mean, he looks like...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he died in 2006, actually. And he was actually... You want to guess how old he was at this point in time, Landy?
It looks about 40 to me.
Yeah.
Around 40.
He was actually 38.
Yeah.
He was born in 1940. So he was 2 years older than me today here, which makes me feel old and weird. I was watching one of these shows the other night where Stan Stasiak was on, and he was 40 years old at the time. And, of course, Stasiak at 40 looks like he's 60.
He looks old as well. That's it. Over.
Very quick.
The ref did Wee Willie Webber.
Yes, Wee Willie Webber. Great.
I hope we get an interview with a good interview on this show.
Well, the only time I ever saw Luke Graham when I was a kid on tape was an interview with him and Wizard. I think it was from the Grant. Yeah, one of the
Coliseum videos.
Yeah, Coliseum videos. I think the Villains of the Squared Circle, where. Mm-hmm. Wizard has a fan or a sign that a fan made.
Yes.
Where it's Manager of Champions, it says, and it's got Stasiak, Graham. And then I just watched this not too long ago because they uploaded the Coliseum videos to the. Oh, geez, speak of the devil.
Oh.
they uploaded the Coliseum videos to the network, and one of the wrestlers they mentioned that the Wizard managed was the Destroyer, which. To my knowledge, the Destroyer never worked in New York, so I thought that was kind of interesting.
I think he's actually on one or two of these shows. I haven't got to it yet.
Yeah.
But when I was looking through some of the listings, I think he's on one of these shows. So.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I'll have to
anyway, that was the only time I saw anything of Crazy Luke Graham back in the day, because he was... at the Wizard's side for that interview segment.
Yeah.
So here we go. Stan Stasiak. Stan the man, Stasiak.
He looks even older than the last show I watched.
Yeah.
Which was like a few months before this.
40 years old, folks, at this time.
I missed the opponent's name.
Yeah. Well, we'll get it hopefully here. Another guy I don't recognize. It's funny because I watched about 12 or more of these on the network since they dropped, and most of the job guys I recognized, because there was like Steve King kept coming back, Frankie Williams was in a ton of matches.
They're the big regulars, aren't they?
Yeah.
Gypsy Rodriguez, I've seen it.
Yeah, Gypsy, the Continental Nobleman, Joe Curto.
Yeah.
Who never made an appearance on Titans of Wrestling, actually.
Jim Oliver.
Jim Oliver, okay.
It's just popped up on the closed caption.
It looks like he's wrestling in his underwear, basically. Jim Oliver. Oh, my.
Dick Whirly.
Dick Whirly, yeah.
I find him a bit annoying sometimes. He seems to end up with a fast counts on some of the... It's normally Rods and Jose Estrada that...
Right.
Like very, very quick counts, and then it seems a bit unfair.
Yeah, well, Johnny Sorrow despised Dick Whirly, so you're in good company there.
He was around forever. He was well into the 80s, wasn't he?
Yep. He was. And then he went on to USWA, or not USWA, Pro Wrestling USA.
Yeah.
When that started up, because it was based mostly in the Northeast, or a lot of it was based in the Northeast. He jumped ship, basically. And then, yeah, never came back. I think he's still alive, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he did die. I remember posting about that on
maybe.
Facebook.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. No, I think you're right, and I think it even made mention in, like, Sports Illustrated or something like that. Yeah. Wow.
I'll just have a quick look. I don't know how to spell his last name.
It's like Zabisco. It's impossible to spell.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was quite a few old-timers in the WWF at this time. And there always would be, kind of, or at least especially in the 70s. Stasiak, I mean, an old-timer. God, he's 40 years old.
Wow. He was... Oh, Heart Punch. There we go.
Wow. We're just flying by with the matches tonight.
We're going quick with these.
Yes.
Normally, some of them are about 6-7 minutes.
Yeah.
Some of these squashes, a bit too long. But...
Yeah, I was messaging Pete and Johnny last night about, because they haven't really been watching this, and I messaged them saying, well, the squashes aren't really squashes. I mean, they go on for 6, 7, 8 minutes. There's a lot of, especially the tag matches go on for real long.
Yeah.
But now we're 2 for 2 pretty much with your traditional squash. Where the jobber got in basically zero offense.
Dick Willie has passed away in 2012, 81.
Oh, wow.
So he'd been, what would he have been in? 57? Is that right?
This is 78, so 34 years later. Yep. No, 40. 47.
Was it 47?
Wow.
He looked 57.
Yes. I totally believe that he would have. I thought he was still alive when we started doing Titans, but I guess not. Wow. Oh, wow.
Oh.
The champ.
I was hoping for the Fred Blasio's Lou Albano interview, but... it says the Worldwide Wrestling Entertainment.
They've even... WWE.
I can't stand Backlund's promos most of the time, except when he's, you know, angry and fired up.
Crazy.
These slow, boring ones.
Oh yeah, no, they're mostly horrible. We went through quite a few of them on Titans, but usually they were quick. We didn't see so many of these interviews on the Titans footage. It was more the house show hype promos that went really quick, where they would bring the good guy in and then the heel would come in the
straight
other side,
after, yeah.
and they're feuding with each other, but you know, they can somehow hold back their anger for the interview segments.
Yeah,
so those were quick. Some of the ones,
5 minutes though.
Yeah,
inside.
The other night I watched one where Vince interviewed Butcher Bichon and Baron Cicluna.
Did
you see that one?
That
one went on for more than 5 minutes. It was crazy.
It looked like they were struggling to what to keep saying.
I know. It was. I guess they had time to kill or whatever, but yeah, I mean, it really could have ended at multiple times, but it just kept going and going and going.
From what I've seen, these interviews that we're watching, like, they would only air when they didn't. Normally, only though they did those house show things you were on talking about. If they didn't have a house show coming up, they'd air this interview instead.
Right.
Because, and if you understand what I mean.
Yeah. Well, and these, like, the longer interviews would often be a setup for an angle. Sometimes where the heel would eventually come out and they would start something. I remember one with Hogan and Tony Atlas.
Yeah.
And some others like that. But no, this looks like Bob's going to go for quite a while here. He's definitely into the big talk about scientific grappling and all that. He watches films, studying his opponent. I mean, that's what Bob was. He was totally... In the history of the territory, he was such an anomaly because he was the NWA style, you know, wrestler's wrestler that would always talk about, you know how wrestling was 100% legit and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And just didn't have that guy before with Bruno and Pedro. The kids are ready to hop into the ring.
Look, I've seen this a couple of times. You just go as close to the ring as you want. It's
yep.
Oh, it's weird brutal. This day and age.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, they didn't even have really any barrier.
No.
Oh, yeah, it was the same in pretty much all the territories back then. I remember some old Stampede wrestling matches from the early 80s where, you know, it was a Dynamite Kid Bruce Hart match, and it's really heated, but by the, you know, halfway through the match, the fans have encircled the whole ring, and they're slamming on the canvas, and nobody seems to care. But it's crazy. And it's interesting to see how many kids were in attendance at this time, because when you think of the 70s era, you think of more adults going to wrestling, especially like elderly adults, and not so much the kids, but no, there's tons of kids.
Because there were, I know at MSG, I can't remember what year, but they were banned for a long time, weren't they? Is it under 14 or something?
I believe, it was actually the night Backlund won the belt from Graham was the first night that they opened up the garden to everybody of all ages. But from what I've heard back when, I mean, they did have like a technical ban, pretty much they weren't really enforcing it that strictly. Because if you look at cards from prior to 78 from MSG, you can still see people that were obviously, or kids that were obviously under 14.
Oh, Haystacks, Calhoun.
Yes.
I haven't seen him yet on these. This is the first one I've seen him on.
Yeah, he's on quite a bit because I watched the preceding episodes last night, and Calhoun and Larry Zbyszko team up on those shows. Moose Monroe.
Oh, God.
From Canada, somewhere in this vast country.
That's... Yeah, I'm going to say Silvano Souza.
Yeah, he was a regular at the time. Yeah, Monroe's horrible. but he was kind of a guy we latched onto on the early Titans episodes as sort of a mascot. Haystacks, wow.
From what I've seen of Haystacks in this late 70s, he'll just barely do anything.
Oh, yeah. No, he...
Can't move.
No, he was like Andre, like Andre, what Andre would be like 10 years later, like in the late 80s. He'd been around since the 50s, Calhoun. He actually could talk not too bad. I don't think I'd ever seen a Haystacks Calhoun promo until last night when I watched one of the earlier episodes, and definitely has to carry the mic for this team because Zbyszko as a babyface promo was not very good.
No.
Clearly.
I think I'm nearly up to this because I'm trying to watch him in order. I think I had a couple more before this to watch.
Yeah.
Look out for that one.
Yeah, Zbyszko clearly came into his own when he became a heel. As a babyface, he's just kind of sense that he wasn't comfortable having to be a good guy.
I'm looking forward to when I get to the 1980 stuff, when all that kicks off.
Yeah. I'm wondering how much they have on, if from the Bruno Larry feud on All Star Wrestling.
Because, I don't think the actual match is on, because that's...
Yeah.
I know sometimes they air the same match on both, but I don't think that match... But I think, by the looks of it, there's a lot of... There's stuff leading up to it and after it, so...
Right. Yeah. And I'm wondering if they haven't put up any championship wrestling, or did they back in the 24/7 days?
Yeah, but it was like this era, 77, 78.
Oh, okay.
Then that's when it ended.
Right.
When the network started.
Yeah. I was just wondering, yeah, if there was like an issue with the championship wrestling footage, if it was.
Yes. I mean, there's obviously, there's like with these, there's a lot of gaps in the day, so I'm guessing they just don't have those.
Yeah. Just wondering why they chose to put up All Star instead of Championship.
Yeah, I'm still baffled. Why they even put some WWF in it anyway. I didn't know there was much demand for it, though.
Well, their strategy now seems to be putting up, you know, as much footage as they can as like a binge watch type thing, because they want to.
Yeah.
They've pretty much fully embraced the whole Netflix streaming thing, instead of trying to be a channel where they have original content and all that, because nobody really cared. They made all those shows that cost money to produce.
Yeah.
They weren't driving.
Most of them are rubbish.
Yeah. So this is the cheap option, and it's, you know, for fans like us, this is great.
Oh, yeah.
Get this stuff. Especially a lot of this stuff, which hasn't seen the light of day since it aired. Landy, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a big collector of stuff, and nearly everything's new from this drop to me.
Wow.
Like, there's the odd match and stuff, I think. But not really not much at all.
Yeah. I know I haven't seen any of it. Some of the promos. Like, I know definitely the Superstar Graham promo on the first episode, the 1975 episode.
Yeah.
That's definitely been out there.
That's... stuff like when they've done it on they did a DVD, didn't they?
Yeah.
Superstar DVD.
Yeah, it was
little things like that that they've popped up.
Yeah, but no, you're right. I mean, we'll talk about a specific match on our next edition. That's really exciting, as far as not being available before.
Haystacks hasn't been in yet.
No, I don't think so. Zbyszko, wow. And he's not
in
at all. easy night for Haystacks. Wow. I'm wondering, this was, I guess, when Gurria maybe was out of the territory for a bit. Because Zbyszko and Gurria teamed for most of 77. And the early 78, they were still teaming. And then there's like a gap. And then they resume teaming again at the end of 78 and win the tag team titles finally.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm not sure what happened. But I think Gurria may have temporarily been out of the territory or something.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not a big Gurria fan, to be honest. So I'm not missing him.
Oh, but well, here we go.
Fred Lassie and Arnold Scotland.
Yep. Gosh, look at Scotland's suit.
Oh, it just said it's for the title.
Yes.
I'd have thought this would have been non-title.
Mm-hmm.
They never do a title on TV, from what I've seen, anyway.
No, I can't recall. I mean, Backlund was on occasionally, but not too often. Same with usually, Bruno.
Usually, when Backlund were on, it was against the others.
Yep. And the tag team champions, whenever they're on, it's always explicitly
the title,
a non. Well, yeah, but when they're just wrestling.
Yeah.
It's explicitly a non-title match. They always announce that. So this is an interesting matchup because Strong Kobayashi was a pretty, significant
was he a
star
big,
in Japan
was he,
anyway.
Yeah, I was going to ask because I don't really know much Japanese stuff, especially this era.
I had to do some research last night because I knew a bit about Kobayashi, but not a lot. He was at his peak. He was like the number one guy, or maybe just the number two guy in the second biggest promotion in Japan, the IWE, it was known as. He has a famous match with Monster Rusamov, the future Andre Giant, that's two out of three falls. From 1972, it goes like 45 minutes. It's famous for being like a great glimpse into a young Andre the Giant.
Yeah, and I think I've seen a little bit of that before. I don't think I've watched the whole match, but...
Yeah, no, I recommend it. It's really good, and Kobayashi was really good in that. He wrestled in the States quite a bit. The IWE had an arrangement with the AWA, so he was there in the early 70s. He wrestled in Florida and Georgia as the Korean Assassin in the mid-70s. He actually had three separate runs in New York. One in 1974, one now in 1978, and then one like a few month run in 1981.
I've seen something from 1981.
Yeah.
Can't remember what, but maybe a squash match I've seen.
Yeah, he didn't make the big cards that often, like the MSG or Spectrum shows.
Yeah.
But. No, he in the mid-70s in Japan, he was a pretty big star. He had a big match with Inoki because he jumped ship. He left the IWE and joined New Japan. And they pushed that match between the two of them as a pretty big deal when it happened. And, yeah. So when this match popped up, I was pretty interested. This would have been like, if there was, internet smart fans in 1978, they probably would have been like, oh, Backlund against Kobayashi, oh, what a dream match or something like that. But yeah, as far as I know, Kobayashi was just like a mid-card jobber to the stars almost, didn't do much in New York.
Yeah, because he's not a big... name from the stuff I've looked up and seen. I think I have seen a Backlund Kobayashi match before. Not this one.
Oh, really?
I think sure. In some poor quality DVD I've got. WWE. I don't know what year it is.
Yeah, it may have been maybe from the 81 run, or maybe it was from Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, it was a TV match. I seem to think it was a championship wrestling, but I can't even remember it, to be honest. I just remember the match. I can't remember anything about it.
Yeah, well, he did have Blassie as his manager, so he had a bit of status.
Blassie managed all the foreigners.
Yeah, default, basically. Yeah.
I love the Blassie interviews I've seen on these.
Yeah, they're great.
And when Vince is, you can see he's trying to hide, not cracking up. And
yeah.
He has to look away from the camera.
Yeah. Same with Albano.
Because they're all off the cuff, just making stuff up, obviously.
Oh, totally.
As well,
yeah.
Which is so much better.
Oh, yeah, I know. Sometimes it bombs. Like, I've seen a few Blassie ones where he kind of just, he's trying to go for something, but he loses it and it just kind of goes nowhere. But yeah, there's this. You can see the fan in white, the big man. The big man is a target for Blassie in his interviews. Albano targets him too. It's pretty much a running gag.
Yeah.
And you messaged me, Landy, that he was there pretty much throughout the whole decade of the 70s in the front row.
Yeah. And I think the earliest all-star thing I've seen is it's either 72 or 73 and he's there.
Oh, wow.
And he's definitely there in 82 as well, because I've been watching some of those. So.
That's awesome.
Someone told me his name once and I forgot.
Oh, really?
On one of the... Oh, they didn't tell me, they posted it on the Facebook or a message, but I forgot that.
Yeah, probably that one Facebook page that we're both part of, the
70s
WWF. There's a ton of people
historians in there.
Well, people that were going to the shows and watching the shows in the 70s.
I want to say it's Joe something, Big Joe or something. He had like a nickname.
Oh,
I might be wrong.
No, I mean, I'm sure he was well known at the time.
I mean, probably a bunch of regulars here, but he's just standing out, obviously.
Yeah, the front rows for pretty much all the territories back in this time were always the same week in, week out.
Do you think they just get a season ticket?
Probably. I went to shows.
Is it every 3 weeks? Or something.
I think so, yeah.
They say three shows every time, so...
Yeah. When I went to shows in Calgary in the early 90s, it was a very small promotion called Rocky Mountain Wrestling, and they had season tickets you could get there. Or the whole like front row was reserved for the regulars. And we never went that far to get season tickets, but it was something that was available if you want.
Yeah.
So I'm sure... for Hamburg, they probably had the same sort of system. And, yeah. I mean, because you would get good matches, dark matches, on these shows, right?
Let's have a look. What's this one for this one while we're on it?
Yeah, that's interesting. But, yeah, to entice the fans to come, you had to offer a main event.
I've seen all that. Someone used to put the like newspaper clip in of these tapings, and that's the only match they'd advertise.
Yeah.
Plus, you'll see like 20 other stars or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. All the big names from TV.
So, this taping, let's have a look. May 17th, 1978. This is the third hour. So, the crowd's already sat through 2 hours of stuff.
Tons of interviews.
The dark match. Backlund, again, defeated George Deal via countout.
See, that would have been a match that was headlining MSG at the same time, so that was a big deal.
Yeah. Well, they headlined a few times, from what I've seen. In the 80s, they had a couple of runs as well.
Oh, Steel and Batman.
And George Steel, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, Steel.
He kept coming back, popping up. And...
Yeah, he had multiple runs with Bruno. I think he had multiple runs with Pedro. Multiple runs with Backlund. And then he also had a few matches with Hogan when Hogan was his champ. Steel, that's his most impressive stat, is that he had title matches against all the big champions from the 60s into the 80s. That's been an okay match, actually.
Yeah, it's not. It's pretty scientific.
Yeah.
Kobayashi's not too bad, really.
No, Backlund.
Oh, Backlund keeps doing that, throwing him away on the...
Yeah, his kickouts. Yeah, he's famous for that. Oh, blocked. Oh. Yeah, Kobayashi, he's short. That's He's got a weird body shape.
Yeah. I wonder how old he is. I think he's about 40 as well.
Yeah, he wasn't too young, no, that's for sure.
This might be why the other match is, you know, short to do a, because they had a, if they're having a title match,
yeah,
give him some time to it, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I haven't got to it yet, but I know one of the shows has a Backlund and Luke Graham match.
Oh, really?
Which I haven't seen on an MSG show before, so that's a new match. New Backlund match.
Yeah. There's a Backlund Baron Cicluna match on, I think it's one of the
one of the earlier ones. I think I saw that one.
First
70s.
One of the first 1978 shows. That one, when I saw that one pop up, I was pretty excited. Being a fan of the Baron.
The Baron, yeah. I like the Baron.
Yeah.
not his wrestling, but I like the Baron.
Yeah, exactly. I like the idea of the Baron. The story of his career and his never-ending feud with Dominic DiNucci. Fascinating stuff. But no, and this time Baron was still pushed as a mid-carder.
Yeah, well, that, like I said, that tag team with the Butcher.
Yeah, which they're pushing as like other contenders for the tag belt and stuff like
that. Yeah.
But yeah, after 78, that was pretty much it for the Baron. He would become pretty much by the beginning of the 80s, he was almost just a jobber, never won.
Yeah. Just like the opening match, maybe on a house show, and that's it.
Yeah, oh yeah, a lot of those. Some pretty bad ones, too. But this TV, that brings up a point I wanted to make, is how the TV is often more fun than the MSG shows. Like, watching a whole MSG show is a chore, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, from this period, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, 70s, 80s. It's just there's too many meaningless undercard matches that go 15 minutes, 20-minute time limit draws.
Yeah.
With no, hardly any action. And, of course, you get awesome main events and the occasional two or three other good bouts. But the cards, if you try and watch a whole two and a half hour long MSG card, it's a test of endurance, basically.
Yeah.
It's a test of will. But these TV shows are, you know, they have to fly by, right? There's no...
Oh, yeah, no time very easy wasted. To breeze through, yeah.
Yeah, very breezy. The matches go by fast. They're worked at a faster pace than a lot of the MSG undercard matches with the same talent. But, because I've been watching these, and, yeah, not too much has really bored me. Like, the interviews we were talking about earlier, those were the worst part of the shows. They got that too long, 6-7 minutes for interview segments where they're not saying anything. But other than that,
yeah,
the matches are fun, and this has been a cool match.
Oh, this could be it.
This should be all she wrote. This was when he really sold it to Carry On. Boom.
A quick count by Dick Whaley again. That was a long match. About 10 minutes. So.
Yeah, it was not bad.
But yeah, that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Twelve minutes.
13, really. Jesus. That went quick, though.
Yeah, no, I was going to say like 8 or so. Wow.
How old is Joe McHughie? I like him a lot. He must be 70-odd-ish.
Yep, Yeah, I think he may have been, because I know Parv looked into it once, and he started announcing in the 20s, I think. Like,
jeez.
So, yeah, he legit was back.
Oh, boy.
20s, here's a match for you. Non-title. I've seen a lot of this Dominic DiNucci, Dino Bravo team, that's for sure, in the last few days.
Oh, I'm not a fan of Bravo at any time, really.
At any time?
No.
He's definitely
Tank
a lot.
Patton.
Yeah, Tank Patton. And also from Canada. Sometimes he's announced from Montreal, but I think tonight it was just Canada. Oh, that beard.
The books, I like it. My fellow butcher.
Yeah. He put in a decent amount of time in New York. Butcher Vachon, you don't really think of him being a New York guy, but he kept coming back.
Yeah, I remember him in the around when Hogan, the first big Hogan, mm-hmm. when he won the world title around then.
Yeah.
A little bit. 83, 84.
Yeah. He actually had the run, like an 83 to 84 run. And then his brother, Mad Dog, finally came to New York.
Right at the end of his career.
Yeah, after Vince had invaded territory, basically.
And yeah.
Took a bunch of his stars. Took Mad Dog. Because, yeah, I don't think Mad Dog, outside of maybe like a special MSG attraction match in the 70s, I don't think he had a New York run in his prime.
No, he's just AWA.
Tons of AWA.
Most of his career, wasn't it?
Yeah, after he hit it big, he rarely left. He worked in Montreal quite a bit in the 70s, too, when that city was doing well.
Oh, wow. Got the big book to it for the...
Yeah.
What do you know about Tank Patton? I don't know much about Tank
I researched him a couple days ago, too, because, I didn't know anything. Journeyman... He wrestled as Tank Patton in a lot of places. He wrestled as Big Mac in a lot of places, too.
Big Mac?
Yeah.
So they have a McDonald's with him.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a stable with him and Ronald and Grimace. And it was in, who knows where it was, Florida. No, he was pretty much, from what I could tell, just at the same level as he is now. Jobber to the stars type guy. I mean, like, he was okay. He's got good facials. And he's, he's good at doing, like, the heel shtick. But not very big. And, just, I guess, didn't really, didn't move beyond the mid-card. Bravo, he becomes horrible in the 80s, that's for sure. Here he's not, he's good. I mean, he's young, he's fast, he's not,
Yeah, I suppose he's better than the latest stuff I've seen.
Yeah.
When he's not good at all.
Yeah, but I agree, he's nothing special. He's not like Rick Martel or anything, like levels of babyface. Someone that...
Did he spend most of his time in Montreal?
Yeah.
After this and before he went back to WWE.
Yeah, because he was basically the top guy in the city for a long time.
And
he drew quite well. He was half Italian, half French, so he was kind of like the Argentina Rocca of Montreal, that he could draw from all the big groups in the city. And was a huge draw. And I think people say he was, quite talented when he was young. But there isn't much footage out there of him. He worked in the AWA in the early 80s, too. I know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot, of course, in Montreal. That was a huge city for wrestling, so you could make a lot of money there if you were headlining. And I think he even owned part of the territory, or Martel definitely did.
Yeah, I think I may have heard that.
There was a big, when Vince finally acquired the city, they all...
Oh, it's over.
Yeah, quick one, too, relatively quick.
So, this is near the end of their run, right? As when the Yukon Lumberjacks beat him, I think. So they only had a short run.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing the other night. I was like, well, I know they don't have a very long run, DiNucci and Bravo as the tag champs. Yeah, it must be coming up quite soon. They've been building up the Yukon Lumberjacks in the previous weeks. I want to say Bravo and DiNucci beat Fuji and Tanaka in March of 78.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, and then it wasn't too long. I think it was an MSG show where they lost the belts to the Lumberjacks, if I'm not mistaken.
I remember them being on that tag teams Coliseum video.
Yes, my favorite as a kid. And that was the first match that they had was Dominic and Dino beating Fuji and Tanaka.
Yeah.
Which was confusing as a kid, because then I thought, oh, this was the beginning of the tag team titles in 78. Because I don't think they really mentioned that, you know, there was all these years before.
Yeah.
On the tape that, you know, it actually went back to 71. Or I think I knew that as a kid. Yeah, because the Aftermags, I was collecting the Aftermags. So I knew that the belts went back to 71, and as a kid I was wondering, well, why isn't there footage of that? Why isn't that on the tape? And, of course, being a kid, I didn't realize that there was no footage. Pre-78. Well, there was, actually. There was footage from 73, right, of tag team title switches?
There is now. I don't think there... It wasn't available before.